I'm really nervous today for some reason. I don't know why. I normally don't get extremely nervous when I preach, but for today, some reason I am. And I kept thinking, my only thought was, at least with Brian up here doing announcements, that if he messed up completely or just bombed, I could say that it was his fault. He set the tone for the service, and I could just kind of pace myself according to that. But instead, he got up here, did a great job as usual. Appreciate it, brother. Thanks a lot. Hey, tis the season, right? Tis the season. Wonderful weather outside. All the fun we have. Getting together with friends, family, enjoying the holiday. Meeting people at Walmart in the aisle. Meeting more people at Walmart in the aisle. Trying to drive down Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. All the great things about the holiday seasons, right? Thing is I got to show you something. I'm a bit of a geek. I don't know. Some of you may have known that already. Some of you just by looking at me, others just by talking to me before. But I'm a little bit of a geek, and I collect toys. Yes, I collect toys, and sometimes I play with them. But some years back at an antique mall in Muskogee, Oklahoma, I found something that I just have to share with you. Just give me a minute here. And this probably isn't going to mean as much to you guys as it did me, but impressive, isn't it? I know you guys are probably saying, what is that? This, ladies and gentlemen, is the official Fisher-Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer set. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Like I said, it probably doesn't mean as much to you as it does me. But there's special meaning for this. There is special meaning for this, and that is Christmas Eve 1978. Yeah, a long time ago. Christmas Eve 1978. My mom and dad had been divorced for a few years, but it was always customary on Christmas Eve for us to receive our gift from our dad. And so we would wait, and we were excited, and 1978 was just a special year for me, and I was just so jazzed. And my mom had asked me constantly, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, oh, if there's one thing I can have, it's got to be the Fisher-Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer. And she's like, well, what else do you want? And I was like, nothing. She's like, that's all you want for Christmas is this one thing. I was like, you can get me what? I knew I was getting socks anyway. We got those every year. So that was coming. So I said, I know I'm getting socks, but if there's one thing that I want, if there's one thing I have to have, it's got to be the Fisher-Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer. And so number one on my Christmas list, Fisher-Price, Venture People, Northwoods Trailblazer. Anytime anybody asks me, what are you getting for Christmas? Well, I hope it's the Fisher-Price, Adventure People, Northwoods Trailblazer. Christmas Eve came. We're sitting at the house. There's a knock on the door. We get up. We go to the door. It's Dad. And we invite him in, of course. And he comes in, and he's got his arm full of gifts. And, man, we're jazzed. We're excited. We're pumped up. We're like, we can't wait to see what Dad's got us. We sit down, and of course, my older brother got to go first because he was older, and, you know, it's just kind of the way it works in families. The older gets to go first because, you know, that's kind of biblical, and besides that, he was bigger. So he got to go first. He opened his gift. I don't even remember what it was because it came my time. And as I ripped into my Christmas wrapping paper, I beheld the most glorious sight of all. The Fisher-Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer that you see before you. Oh, I was so excited. Nothing else mattered. I went into a blur. It was just like euphoria all over the place. And I mean, people were talking. People were celebrating around me. I had no clue. I was in the zone. I had the gift that I had sought after so much right there in my hands. Of course, I didn't waste any time. I ripped into it. I started playing with it immediately. It didn't leave my side as I went to bed that night. Possibly the greatest gift that I've ever been given. You know, as we look in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, a story that we're all familiar with, the story of the birth of Christ. And as we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we see that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And we find out that in verse 3 that all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And in verse 4 that Joseph also went up from Galilee into Judea into the city of David, which is Bethlehem. In verse 5, it says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. In verse 6, it says, and so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Obviously, this time of year, we're not going to talk about gifts like this, as we are going to talk about the single greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that was Jesus. And just that simply, verse number 6, just that simply, it says, and so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And just like that, the single greatest gift ever given to mankind came about. And it came about not out of desire necessarily. It didn't come about from obligation, obviously. It came about because God loved us so much that in John 3:16 it says that he gave his only begotten son. His desire that night was to give us the greatest gift that he possibly could, because he had tried every other way, every other avenue, every other obvious thing that he could think of for a connection between us and him, and it had all failed. It all had fallen short, and he finally devised a plan for the greatest gift to be given to mankind, and he set it in motion that very night. The thing is, that gift became available to all mankind, and for a specific reason. Because you see, much like our Christmas traditions, and I know we all have them, and I know we all spend time, whether it's decorating the tree, whether it's going caroling, whether it's whatever we may do, we all have our traditions that we do. I know Misty's family celebrates Christmas on Christmas Eve. My family always did it on Christmas Day. There are a lot of different things that we do. There's one thing that's been around since the beginning of mankind, and that is sin. And because sin has been in the world, there has been a need for an alleviation from sin. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You see, this sin that has come into our lives, that has consumed us, that has brought us down, there is a gift that alleviates us from that. There is something that takes all of that away, and that is the gift of Jesus Christ. Ephesians, it tells us that it is a gift of God. The thing is God's gift is available to us. And you may say, oh, you know, you're telling me something I already know. And don't think I don't know this. Don't think I haven't worried about this and fretted over this. Coming up around Christmas to talk about a Christmas message and deliver it to people who have probably been in church for a long time and heard every Christmas message out there possible, to think of a new and a different way to bring about this message. And I struggle with it, and I prayed about it, and I said, God, what can I do? What can I say? How can you lead me to make this fresh and relevant to everyone? And he said, well, look at where it's coming from and who it's to. Look at who you're going to be speaking to. Look at who we're going to be dealing with. Look at your own self and realize how stale our lives have become sometimes, because we've heard it over and over, because it's not as fresh and real to us, because we've done it for so many years, because it's there. I had forgotten completely about the Fisher Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer. After I became a teenager and sold all my toys and garage sales and everything, I had forgotten completely about it till I saw it on that shelf one day. And when I saw it, of course, my mind went immediately back to that night and how much fun I had with it and how so awesome it was for me at that one particular time. I had to have it. And it didn't matter what the cost was, as long as Misty would let me buy it, that I would have it once again. And so I did. The thing is it was new and it was fresh and relevant because I had forgotten all about it. But yet once again, I was reminded of how much joy it brought me. You see, the thing in this time of year, there's some people out there without joy in their lives. They're without joy because maybe they just hate the Christmas season. Like I said before, try to go down an aisle at Walmart. Try to go down Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. Try to keep your sanity as you find the latest and greatest toy for your kid or grandkid. Try to keep it together while you're trying to navigate to get to work, and all of these people who are just out enjoying the holiday season are making you miserable. But beyond that, there are people out there during this holiday season that have no one to share it with. There are people out there this holiday season that have no gifts to give to one another. They have nothing to receive. They have no family, no friends. They may not even have a place to stay or anything to eat. And I think about that and I think, how is it that we forget so easily how blessed we are and how great we have it that we sometimes just move it aside and we don't think about this gift that God gave us? Over in John chapter 4, as we read, Jesus is passing through on his way to Judea, and he stops at Samaria, and he stops at a well. He stops at a well there. And as he's resting at this well, a young lady comes up by herself to draw water from the well. And he says, "Would you please get me something to drink? I'm thirsty." And she kind of looked at him, and she was shocked. She was shocked because, number one, it was really customary at that time that men and women didn't really talk in public very much if they weren't together. Secondly, it was really odd because he, being an important figure, would not really be talking to someone of her stature. And her stature was such as this, is it was very customary at that time for ladies to gather together and go draw water from the well all at one time. I don't know if that's the precursor for all the ladies that go to the restroom at the same time or what. I don't know if that's where that started from or what. But for some reason, they gathered together. They all went down to the well and they drew their water, but she was by herself. And the reason she was by herself, if you know the story real well, is that she wasn't a very modest lady. That's a nice way to put it. And so she was basically an outcast and she was by herself. And thirdly, we come to find out that her being a Samaritan and of course Jesus being a Jew, they weren't supposed to have anything to do with each other. And so she was shocked a little bit at first that this man was even speaking to her in public, as such as the way it was. And then on top of that, being a Jew and a Samaritan, and she's just like a little shocked at first. But Jesus said something, what was really amazing to me, and brought a newness and a freshness of life to this gift of God that he was. He says in verse number 10 of John chapter 4 that when she had questioned him about obviously speaking to her, he said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to thee, 'Give me drink,' you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." Fresh, anew, living water available by Jesus. And the thing is she had no clue. She had no clue that it was there and available to her, because all she could do is she looked at the limitations that were there. You know, if you're here this morning and you think, "Well, I've got limitations in my life. There are things that have kept me from really enjoying life the way I should." You know, when Brian and Jason and those led us through the good life, it was designed so that we could see scripturally the availability for us to live it up and have it good. But you may still sit here today and say, "I've got these limitations. Maybe my past is haunting me. Maybe it's my present. Maybe there's something about me that separates me from God." I'm here to tell you that if you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, "I am available to you today," you would ask for it immediately. She struggled with a little bit his obvious answer to her question. And she looked about and she said, you have nothing. Nothing with which you can draw out of the well and get to drink. What are you talking about?" Because she completely missed the spiritual understanding that was supposed to be taking place. She was looking at the physical impossibilities around. You know, you're sitting here today and you may do the same thing. You may say, this is physically impossible. It is absolutely impossible for me because of the distractions in my life, because of the things in my life. You don't understand what I'm going through, Brother David. You don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand. I don't understand. I don't have a clue, but there is someone who does, and he has all power in heaven and earth, and whatever it is that he can do, he will do, and he will remove it. He has no impossibilities, because with God, all things are possible. But you know what's probably the most discouraging thing to us is the fact that we are so distracted like that woman at the well. When it's readily available to us and it's right there for us to have, and all of a sudden it's just like, you know what? I just don't understand. I don't grab it. I don't grasp it. I don't hold on to it. Christmas morning, 1978. We get up, we're opening presents. Man, it's a good time. It's already been a great Christmas for me. I have in my possession the single greatest toy ever. And as we're opening presents and we have our little pile for my brothers and for I and for my grandmother and my mother, which significantly, as most of you parents know, is a lot smaller than the kids. But as we're opening presents, I'm looking around and we're done. We've had a great Christmas. Mom asks, how was your Christmas? Oh, it was great. Thank you very much. Fantastic. We enjoyed it. I'm looking around. There's another present under the tree. And I'm like, well, what's that? And Mom goes, oh, that's nothing. And of course, my little brother, he's excited. He's singing it's for him. He crawls over there. He's like, hey, this says David on it. And she's like, well, just leave that there. That's not for him. It's for someone else. And I was like, is that for me actually, really? And she said, well, it was, but I don't want you to worry about that right now. We're going to take care of that some other time. Just, you know, enjoy what you've got. But of course, obviously, an 8-year-old at Christmas time, you don't really contain them. You can only hope to slow them down a little bit. And so I was just totally focused and consumed by this wrapped gift that has my name on it. I just kept badgering her. So finally she says, okay, fine, open the gift. And so I'm like, yes, I get an extra gift. My brother is jealous. I'm living it up. I'm excited. And I go and I rip open the wrapping paper. And much to my surprise, the Fisher Price Adventure People Northwoods Trailblazer. And of course, my first thought is, I've got two. But I looked at my mom, and she wasn't as happy. And I never understood until it hit me years later. She wanted to be the one to get me that gift. She wanted to be the one that saw my face on Christmas morning, open that up, the one thing that I had asked for all year long, the only thing that mattered to me was this toy. She wanted to be the one that gave it to me. And the joy was taken out of her just a little bit. You know what I think to myself? How many times does God look down on us as he's placed this gift in front of us and laid it right there for us to have, and we just walk past it? It means nothing to us because we've got all of what we want. We've got enough fame. We've got enough fortune. We've got enough friends. We've got everything we want. We do not need one more thing. How many times does he just sit there just a little bit saddened by the fact we don't take this gift that's readily available to us? You may say, well, Brother David, I'm here this morning. What are you talking about? I don't need to have this gift given to me. I've already got it. I have been saved. I have been baptized. I have been a member of a church for years. I do this. I do that. Okay, I understand that, and I know. Well, let's try this one. You may say, as you look at this box here, and the box is in pretty bad shape. I've had to do some slight modifications on it. And I have other toys. Like I said, I'm a geek. I have other toys that are locked up, put away, and no one's allowed to touch. So you may ask, well, what about this one? The very first thing I did when I got home with this from Muskogee is I opened it up and I let Bryce play with it. And he loved it. He thought it was awesome. He thought it was cool. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is awesome. I mean, obviously we leave it in this box. Everybody, I know all of you people out there are jealous now. But it does. It looks really cool in this box. But you know what? What good does it do me if that's all it does is stay in this box? What does it really mean if all I take is this one gift that I was given that meant so much to me and leave it sitting here to collect dust and fall apart? When instead, I could open it up and I could share it with someone else. And I could let them experience the joy that I've had playing with it. The joy that comes to my life from knowing that I've had it and that I've had time with it and now someone else can. You see, if we go back to Luke chapter 2, what happened was, is that night as Jesus was born, as the gift was delivered, the angels appeared unto some shepherds. And they said, we bring you good tidings of great joy, that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they made haste and they went down to the place where the babe laid, and entering in, they fell down and they worshiped him. But that's not the most important part about it, because you see, they received their gift that night. But from that point on, the Bible tells us that they arose from the place and they went out into the streets and they went out into the people shouting and glorifying God and making it known that which they had just seen and experienced. You want to experience the true gift of God this Christmas? Give him away. Find someone that needs him and give him to them. Let someone else experience the joy, the excitement that comes just like we already know when our sins are forgiven, when everything is washed away, when we don't have to worry about it anymore because it's removed as far as the east is from the west. We're washed as white as snow. Give him away. Let someone else experience the joy that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And do it happily. Do it with a smile on your face. Don't do it because you have to. Don't do it because someone suggested it to you. Don't do it because you feel like it's your obligation. What you ought to do is you ought to go out there and you ought to be shouting it. You ought to be exclaiming it. You ought to be saying, hey, I know in this time of year it's difficult, but guess what? There is hope. It's Jesus. I remember years ago, and obviously some of you probably do as well. I remember years ago there was a Cabbage Patch doll. Anybody ever remember the furor over Cabbage Patch dolls? I don't know how many of you girls or dads had to worry about that. You couldn't find one. It was mayhem. It was rioting in the streets and in the aisles of all the toy stores because people had to have the Cabbage Patch doll, and they weren't out there. I remember a few years later, there was something called Furby. I don't know if you remember a Furby or not. It was a goofy-looking little electronic thing that made noises. Everybody had to have a Furby. There were no Furbies left. It was like a Furby free day. People were putting signs out, we have no Furbies. Yeah, just stay away if you're looking for a Furby. It was, they weren't there. Nobody, I mean, that was the thing. You couldn't find them. They were nowhere to be found. Let me tell you something. I don't know what the hot toy is this Christmas, because obviously with Bryce, he's into video games. And I know sometimes those kind of run in spurts where they get sold out themselves. But, you know, there's nothing on his list that I've seen that I'm just like, oh, man, we're never going to find that. You know what? Jesus is always here. He's always available to everyone. and for everyone. So you're never going to have a shortage of Jesus. You're never going to have an opportunity where you go up to somebody and you say, I've got something great to share with you this Christmas season. And they're like, oh, I wonder what it is. Because, you know, is this like one of those re-gifts left over from last year that you really didn't want, the knitted sweater, and so you re-gift it to me? You bring out Jesus. You bring him out and you share him. Because he's never short. He's never in limited supply. He never runs out. He is that living water that is available from a spring that never runs dry and then just can keep going and going and going, and like the Energizer Bunny, going and going. Thing is I think about that, and I have experienced so many times the joy on Christmas morning of watching my kids open their gifts and the smiles on their faces and the appreciation that they show me, and, you know, can look over at Missy and high five or give a yes, or just know that pride that wells up within me. But I still have never, ever experienced anything like I have when I have talked and prayed with someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Nothing can replace it. So my point this morning is, if you're here and you're looking for that one perfect gift, that one gift that makes all the difference in the world, it's Jesus. And if you've already got him, you're in a great place where you're at, then share him. Give him away. Let someone else experience the joy that he has to offer to them in an otherwise time where there may not be any.